Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics across the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden. Today's episode is about loss and the cross, a mother's guide to suffering. My guests today are no strangers to suffering, and they're also no strangers to God's goodness and mercy and love, as you'll soon hear. Joining from Arizona, we have Kristalina Evert, from Texas, Claire Cauchy, and from the state of Washington, Christine Moss. Thank you, ladies, for joining me. Now, Kristalina, there are so many directions that we could take when we talk about suffering and motherhood, but I'd like us to focus on seeing things from the perspective of taking up our crosses. And we know EWTN Foundress Mother Angelica is known for saying, holiness is not for wimps, and the cross is not negotiable, sweetheart. It's a requirement. So can you explain what it means to take up your cross or embrace your cross?
You know, it's not an easy thing when you take up your cross, because a lot of the times you absolutely feel buried by it, overwhelmed by it, and even suffocated by it. And sometimes you cause your own suffering, but sometimes Jesus really is asking you to take on great suffering in your life and walk with him. And in those times that we're walking with him in that suffering, those are the times when you really have to cling on to Jesus. And maybe it's a time where he's taking you away from something he actually doesn't want in your life. Maybe there's something that you have to root up. But at the end of the day, our suffering, our pain, whatever it is we're going through, if it's emotional, if it's physical, he's trying to tell us something. Pain is trying to talk to us, to let us know the pain in our lives, that something isn't quite right. And he wants us to grow. He wants us to strive for that virtue. And maybe we need to go deeper in our relationship with him. And if we aren't going through that specific suffering sometimes, maybe we'll just ignore that relationship with God or that problem in our life. But there's always a purpose for it, because always at the end of that suffering down the road, you may not see it now, you always see the graces from that heavy cross in your life that you have to carry.
Amen. And I can't wait to talk about what some of those graces are. And Claire, you're a Catholic blogger and an influencer. And alongside your husband, you started the website called Finding Philothea. You've also been a light to so many couples, especially those on social media who have carried the cross of secondary infertility. So please tell us, what has it been like to carry this cross as a mother? Yes, but also as a family.
So thank you for inviting me to speak about this topic. For those who don't know, secondary infertility is the inability to conceive or carry a child to full term after a year of trying to conceive after having a previous child. So as someone who has 5 siblings and my mother has 11 siblings, secondary infertility, I hadn't even heard of the word, let alone thought I would experience it. So this has been a cross in my marriage, definitely. And a lie I had to really struggle with was that my body was failing my marriage, my husband, that my body was failing my son, not giving him another sibling. Yet it's beautiful, because within this suffering, I was able to find Christ, and he revealed to me in these sufferings where I needed to grow as a person. I needed to grow in trust of him and his plan, especially, and trusting in his goodness, because here I was wanting this good thing. I conceived my son easily 7 years ago, but we haven't been able to conceive since. And both my husband and I wanted children. We just yearned for children. But I was starting to question God's goodness, and through this suffering, he revealed to me where I needed to grow in trust and love of him. And when I surrendered that to him, my desires, this cross, that's when that joy entered in.
Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing that, Claire. And Christine, your story has captivated a large social media following over the past few years with your family's cancer journey. So for those who aren't familiar with your story, would you please share about your marriage to Michael and his cancer diagnosis?
Yes, I was married to an incredible man named Michael for 14 years, and we had 4 children, 2 girls and 2 boys. And in our life, things started off just like any young family. We would go through just trials of having younger children and trying to build a business. And as time went on, probably halfway through our marriage, we were struck with a number of really great sufferings. My health took a toll. My late husband's father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I really struggled to find a lot of peace during this time because of the amount of sufferings that were just poured upon our family, and going through a lot of my own health struggles, really trying to climb out of that as well. And so we ended up at a point where things had converged so much in our family between, like I said, my health struggles and just the weight of some of the life sufferings that we were dealing with. We decided to downsize, to sell everything, to move into a rental, and to just really try to do life part two. We actually had a baby coming in adoption. My husband had just moved his business from one financial firm to another, and we were really climbing out of the hole, I guess, of all of these things that we had been through over a number of years. But right after moving, my husband had a seizure and was diagnosed with brain cancer. And he passed away 11 months after that. And it really was a time of immense trial, of one thing after another seemingly going wrong. And where my sufferings in the middle to latter part of before Mike was diagnosed, where those really came into play was when God told me that those were then going to be used to prepare me for dealing with Mike's brain cancer. And so that journey was one of that I've tried to unpack over a long period of time, and one that changed my life and my faith and my children and all of us in incredible ways.
Amen. And I'm so thankful that you have shared your journey with us with vulnerability and with authenticity. I followed along with Michael's journey up leading to his death. I remember the day that he died. And I'm so thankful that you've shared that story. And I know that for people who want to hear more about his story and your continuing story, that they can follow you on Instagram and see some of the highlights and follow along with you where you are right now. So thank you again for sharing your story. And Kristalina, with your Women Made New ministry, you talk all about your own suffering, very much of which you had endured for years, and you didn't even realize how it would affect your marriage until you were married. So what was it like to start to uncover those layers of suffering and to work toward healing?
You know, one thing I want to say right off the bat is we don't get to choose how we suffer. That is one thing we don't have free will over. God chooses that for us. And it seems like everybody's going through something right now. I think nobody is unscathed from suffering in their life because God is trying to reveal himself to help his people grow and draw his people in. But it's not easy because we need to shed kind of the ways of the world. And through suffering, it kind of gets burnt off in that suffering, right? All these ways of the world that we take on, and I kind of get addicted to. And being a sexual abuse survivor and having to go through that healing while I was married and finding a lot of things out after our third child was very difficult, and it was really hard. And I didn't expect it. I kind of felt bulldozed, you know, and it was like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know any of these things happen. It was all really suppressed. And it was really difficult. And I had this really difficult patch in my motherhood, my marriage. I was depressed, and I felt like the ground just fell out beneath me. But what do you do when that happens? And that's when you really have to make a decision, because everybody can kind of chime in on when you're going through suffering. And if you're not being secret about it or keeping it behind closed doors, because a lot of people do that as well. And I would really encourage you, if you are suffering greatly, in some way, shape, or form, don't suffer alone. Jesus does not want you alone bearing the weight of this cross and the evil one beating you up with the demonic dialogue. He wants you to reach out. I know he himself, Jesus, is reaching out to you probably, but even Jesus had angels ministering to him in the desert when he was going through his great 40 days of fasting and he was being tempted by the evil one. The angels ministered to him. They helped him. So please, if you are suffering, don't do it in silence, but get help. And that's what I did. I had to go to counseling, which was very humbling and hard. But it was through that cross of counseling, facing those demons, that I came out even stronger. And my Women Made New whole ministry kind of was born from that great suffering. And it has helped countless women all over the world. But the biggest thing with suffering in anybody's life is that you have to show up to your own fight. You have to show up to your battle day in, day out, and pray and ask for God's strength. Because if the devil can keep you beat down, suffocating under the cross God is having you to carry at that moment, he's won, and you cannot let him win. But you got to show up to your fight and know that you are not the only one.
And when we're going through these times of intense suffering, there may be this temptation to think, oh, if I just prayed hard enough or if I just believe enough, then God will make this hurt go away. But from your own experience carrying crosses, should we ask God to take away the crosses?
You know, that's really the wrong prayer, is like, take this away, because it's there for a reason. Again, you go back to, through that, it's trying to tell you something. Something is off in your life. Something is going on. I was really irritable and angry, and I wasn't receiving love the right way or giving love. And I was having a hard time because I didn't know I was sexually abused as a child. So I was kind of acting out of that wound without even knowing it. So subconsciously, I needed to listen to those warning signs that were there, and not to get rid of the cross, but really, Jesus, what do you want me to find out about this? What do you want me to learn? How do I need to grow? And a lot of the times you don't know. It's about going into that darkness and the unknown with Jesus sometimes, in that suffering, in that walk of faith that we have to do. And a lot of the times people don't have support around them. They don't have their husband supporting them or their friends or their in-laws. You know, maybe sometimes they're even working against them. But at the end of the day, Jesus is not going to have you go through something that he is not going to give you the grace, the courage, and the strength for, no matter what. And he will give you everything that you need. But again, it's not about getting rid of the suffering, getting rid of the cross. It's about showing up to your fight, taking Jesus' hand and saying, okay, I can do this. It's not going to crush me, because in the end, you will be stronger, because you will have overcome that battle. You have defeated the evil one who is trying to take you out, and you will have gained so much more by that growing in that grace and that love and that mercy and that trust in God that we really as a society have a hard time doing right now.
And so it's important for mothers to take up their crosses bravely and to recognize the good that can come from them. And Claire, there are a lot of reasons why a mother might be suffering silently or suffering with these invisible crosses. So it might be infertility or a miscarriage, abuse, mental illness, isolation. I could go on and on. So how can moms offer up these sufferings to God?
I immediately hear, when I hear that silent suffering is the silent suffering of Christ in front of Pontius Pilate during the Passion. And so often people may not know our individual crosses, and they do appear silent, but Christ knows. He knows. He is with us in our suffering. And when we unite our suffering with him, that's where, when the glory happens, that's when, but it's important to really enter in and acknowledge that suffering, because when we acknowledge that suffering, that's when we can make that full offering to Christ. If we just brush it aside and pretend it's not there, we can't fully offer it. We can't fully offer it up to Christ. But I want to echo what Kristalina says, how important it is to bring it to the light. Yes, we may be suffering silently, but how, even if it's telling God that this is a suffering, but there are so many women, men, doctors, medical professionals, therapists who want to help us, who are there, and to bring our suffering to the light, even if it's one person that you tell, bring it to the light.
Amen. And so then how do we as friends and family accompany mothers or help them to carry these crosses?
So recently I was reading Job, and it hit me. Usually I'm focused on Job and his suffering, but this time I was looking at his friends and how so often when we see a friend suffer, we want to justify it. We want to give a reason for it. We want to help fix it, just like Job's friends did in that passage. But how important presence is. And sometimes it's that silent presence that we can be there for that person and just to say, I am here. I acknowledge, I see that you are suffering. You don't have to talk. You can talk if you want, but I am here. I just recently read Peter Kreef's Wisdom of the Heart, and he lists the 14 types of love that a human heart is capable of experiencing from least to greatest. And what shocked me in reading that was the 13th love, the love closest to the highest form of love, the 14th love, agape. The 13th love was presence, our withness with someone, our full attention to someone. So we can't underestimate that power of our presence to those who are suffering.
I just got goosebumps as you said that, the presence and how important it is. And again, it echoes what Kristalina said, that you're not alone and that the devil would love to see you turn in on yourself and would love to see you essentially waste away instead of flourishing, which is what God had intended for us. And so how important to be there with those who are suffering and being alongside them. So Christine, this is a great time to ask, what was it like being the caregiver for Michael and being there with him?
Yeah, so I found myself in a role as a 36-year-old woman with four little kids that I never, ever expected. And as Kristalina had said, we don't get to choose our crosses. And after coming out of a number of years of very intense suffering and thinking finally that the dawn was breaking and that, okay, everything we were praying and working for and hoping for was now going to come to be in joy and in things that were unfolding in our life, to find myself now as primary caregiver of my husband who had brain cancer was a very shocking place. And I let myself mourn, first of all. It was a very silent mourning because in his journey, his very first brain surgery, he came out like he went in, normal. But 2 days later, he had a brain hemorrhage and almost died. His name was Michael Moss, and he was miraculously saved on the Feast of Michaelmas. So St. Michael the Archangel was very present to us in our journey, and we were given, like I said, 11 months with him through his treatment and his own battle. But to be the caregiver, to go from wife to caregiver, is a humbling, beautiful, intense, sad, emotional journey that I spent a really long time unpacking even after his death, because it required so much silent suffering on my part, because my husband was alive and it was something to rejoice and he was able to be here with us. But it's that dichotomy of the joy and the sorrow and how oftentimes those two things can coexist, and they can. And I think that in suffering, we can feel it in the moment, but oftentimes we can let ourselves just be in survival mode and then continue to unpack it as time goes on. And so it was a big trial, but also one that brought immense fruit in my heart and my soul, and the witness also to our children and also to my late husband.
Amen. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Kristalina, the witness that you offer, that you and Christine and Claire offer is powerful. And it really is a testament to God's grace working in your lives. What would you say to the mom who's watching right now, who's thinking to herself, I could never survive something like that?
One, not to get bitter at God. There was a time in my life when I was really going through it and I was getting crushed. I was allowing it to defeat me. that I was getting angry and bitter at God. And I had to kind of step back and be like, whoa, that this isn't right. It was affecting that. And so instead of getting angry and turning away from that, I actually went and I just immersed myself in my relationship with God. So mothers out there who are suffering, who are going through so much, and I know there are people that can't even comprehend some of the suffering that is out there right now that you may be going through and doing it probably alone. One, don't do it alone. Two, go to Jesus. Go to him in adoration and you give him everything. You cry, you dump it out, you get angry, you give him everything. And I promise you, because I know from my own personal experience going in there and just crying out to God, that I left there changed. I left there stronger. I left that time with Jesus in adoration, more capable and equipped to deal with the things going on. Because when we are going through suffering, spiritually we're affected, emotionally, and physically sometimes. And you have to look at all of those components. But if you can just knock one thing out at a time, spiritually, okay, go to adoration, go to confession, just make sure, take that spiritual inventory, get right with God emotionally, get your hormones checked, make sure everything is going on, and physically as well, that will help you. But at the end of the day, I am going to say it again, that you are not alone. And don't turn in on yourself, but really embrace your relationship with God, because there is something he's trying to tell you. He's trying to talk with you, and he wants you to grow as a mother. If it's having to die to yourself and maybe turning away from a job that you really want to go to, and you're having a hard time being at home with kids, or maybe it's you're having a hard time in your marriage or with your in-laws or people judging you. And I want you to remember, ladies sitting at home watching, that there was no saint, not one, in our church that cared what people thought of them. And we really have to let go of caring so much what everyone thinks, and just everyone looking at everyone under this microscope, but just like let it go. And all we have to worry about is what God thinks, what God has given us to take care of in our own lives, and make sure that we are right with him spiritually and we are in the state of grace. And just through those little steps, you will become stronger, be more capable to embrace that cross that maybe you're living right now.
And there's a temptation to compare your crosses to other people's crosses, and we don't want you to do that, because God handpicked your cross for you. And if you ask him, he is going to give you the grace to carry that cross. And Claire, as you and your husband were carrying your cross and working through the diagnosis of secondary fertility and you were receiving treatment, there came to that point where you had exhausted all options for medical treatment. You had done your homework, you had done everything, but there was nothing else that you could do. What was going through your heart during that time, and what did you learn?
Yeah, so within these past 8 years, we truly have exhausted all the options within the bounds of the church. We've had surgeries, we've tried all the diets, we've just gone to NAPRO doctors, and while it's hasn't led to conception, it has helped our health, yet we have exhausted everything within the church's bounds. And that there was a moment where it was beautiful, though, because we had to make a conscious decision to keep following the church, because the world was telling us that the next step would be IVF, and that just wasn't an option. And my husband Mike and I had that decision, and we had that discussion of, no, we would rather accept this suffering of Christ that is truly bringing us deep peace and joy once we have turned it to him, than to turn away from Mother Church and her teachings. And when we made that decision, so much peace entered in. And it was when we had that discussion that I heard Jesus in my heart, and I can still remember it, saying, I love your family because it reminds me of the size of my own family. And that's when a huge devotion to the Holy Family entered into our home. Mike, my son Peter, and I, we consecrate our family to the Holy Family each night, and we've allowed the Holy Family to be schooled by the Holy Family in Nazareth to grow in other ways of love. So often I receive comments of, you know, family size, and I think of Mother Mary too, how she was surrounded, I'm sure, by large Jewish families, and she maybe receive those comments too, but how I can turn to her as my guide, my intercessor, and she knows those heart pangs intimately.
She does. And as a spiritual mother of us all, she's the one that it is so, so, so good to turn to in our times of suffering. And Christine, I can't believe that the show is already starting to wind down, but can you please tell us, how can we as mothers model suffering well for our children?
I would say that my number one piece of advice is to be honest. There are going to be times where I was completely broken and I had to let myself feel that even in front of my children, because that gave them the permission to then feel their own pain. But I think also to model for them hope, and that immense hope is something we should never despair of, and that God can take everything and make it beautiful. Our prayer was always one of, God, take what we are undergoing and make something so beautiful come out of it. And we tried to balance our natural suffering, our physical, our emotional, our spiritual suffering with those moments of praise. And as you brought up, that saying from Job 1:21 is on my late husband's gravestone: the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I think this honesty is very powerful, and acknowledging also that there is that spiritual and that physical side, and we have to nurture both of those things, whether it's through the sacraments, whether it's through rest, whether it's through taking a year off of homeschool or math or whatever it might be. So there are different things that we had to do together as a family to be able to make it through our suffering then and any of the grief that continues to arise today.
Amen. And Kristalina, in the last minute or two of the show, Mother Teresa is credited for saying, pain and suffering have come into your life. But remember, pain, sorrow, suffering are but the kiss of Jesus, a sign that you are so close to him that he can kiss you. What does this mean for moms who don't necessarily feel like their suffering is a sign of God's love?
Yes, they're not feeling warm and fuzzy inside. And I've had my spiritual director tell me that same thing. And I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? You know, and you just say that in a bit like, wow, okay. And you don't fully understand it. And I didn't at the time. But one thing, when maybe you're stuck and you're just like, is this ever going to end? Yes, it is going to end. There is a resurrection after the crucifixion. And you are probably just going through it. A lot of people are. But one thing that does help, I will say, and we forget about this weapon, is fasting. Take some time maybe to fast, because maybe you are stuck spiritually. Maybe you're in a rut and you can't get out, or you're in confession for the same sin and the same problem, and you're just like, oh, I just want to give up. I don't care anymore. No, one, don't give up. Two, use the weapons the church has given you in this spiritual battle, because in our suffering, carrying a cross, it is a spiritual battle. That's what Jesus entered into when he went to go die on the cross. He went to go defeat the devil, to conquer death itself, evil, for us. And so you're in a spiritual battle as well, and don't forget that. So to fast, to use holy water, stay in confession, pray the rosary, use all of the different weapons of the church, and there are many, and I'm sure you can find that on EWTN.com. They have so many prayers and resources there for you. But don't forget to fight with the weapons and appropriately, because those will help you in your battle. Jesus went and fasted for 40 days during Lent because he knew the battle and the fight that was ahead of him, and that's how he prepared for it. So imagine we're being attacked by the same enemy, and we also need to be smart and strategic in the suffering. And remember, it's not just a cross you're getting buried under. No, you're in a battle. You are in a fight right now. And the most important thing is that you utilize your will and you show up and you keep on and do not give up.
Amen. I couldn't have said it better myself. And unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for today. This was a really great discussion. And if you enjoyed this discussion, you can watch it again and even more episodes of The Catholic Sphere on our online streaming platform. That's EWTN.com/on-demand. And do share this episode with a friend that you know. Kristalina, Claire, and Christine, thank you so much for being with me today. And thank you for joining too. We'll see you again right here next week on The Catholic Sphere.